What a beautiful word and song. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verse 2 this morning. Only one verse this morning in our study, but this has to do with our study of ecclesiology. As you're turning there, I know some people say, Pastor, why were you afraid or a little bit nervous when you showed up this morning with the alarm going off? Don't you carry a weapon? I have no problems with guns or anything like that, but generally speaking, I don't. I was told one time, I asked a pastor friend of mine, should I carry the pulpit? And he said, well, if you ever had to use that thing, he goes, the only thing that people would ever remember about you is shooting somebody. So that's all they would see when you stood in the pulpit. But during the Revolutionary War, there was most of those who fought in that war were Presbyterians. So much so that over in England and Britain, it was known as the Presbyterian Revolt or the Presbyterian Rebellion. Some of those men were clergy. There's a story about one such clergyman who, when he would get into the pulpit, he carried two sidearms, pearl-handled pistols, and he would lay them on the pulpit and then say, let's pray. So, I thought that was pretty interesting. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, you'll find one of several of the one another commands that we have in Scripture. This is one of them. And it says, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. So the Lord's Prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. But we thank you for the instruction that it gives us, the concise instruction that it goes most of the time gives us, but it doesn't imply things, but it explicitly tells us what you desire of us as your people. Lord, here in this verse, we find one of those things that you desire us to do in response and in relation to one another as the church, and that is to bear one another's burdens. And Lord, we would have to all admit that this is an area in which we fail so often. But Lord, may we be reminded of the importance of this. May we be reminded this morning that this is an imperative, this is a command that you give to your people. There's so much that can be said about it that we oftentimes never think about. So, Lord, I pray that you instruct us this morning, Lord, that you would give us, by your Spirit's power, the ability to apply what you're told. Yes. You know, I don't get the opportunity often, mainly due to time constraints and the responsibilities of pastoring this church, but back a few months ago, I had the privilege of being able to sit down and to meet with one of my dear pastor friends in the area. If you know anything about pastors, they are notorious for saying, let's get together for lunch or let's meet together somewhere, and they never do it. But I had the opportunity to sit down with this pastor friend of mine and talk over some difficulties that I was experiencing in ministry. And I was thankful, very thankful to have a friend, to have a brother with whom I could talk over various burdens that I was experiencing in my own life. To have a brother who loved me, who was also in ministry, who could sympathize with me, who could empathize with me and interact with me in regards to those burdens that I was experiencing. Now, I know that I am never alone in burden bearing at any time. I'm well aware of that fact. In fact, if we were privy to all that was going on in the lives of the people that we sit next to in church, it would be revealed to us that there are some, maybe many, in our church family who are dealing with some heavy burdens, who are bearing heavy burdens and dealing with some very difficult things. If we could see behind sometimes the happy and pleasant faces that people so often put on, a different reality would be revealed. If we could get the people who, when we ask them how they are doing and they respond with, I'm fine or I'm doing better than I deserve, if we could get those people to be honest with us and to truly open up to us, we would find out that they are not doing good, that their things are not fine with them, that basically what they just did was they gave us a reflexive response. And the text before us presupposes, it assumes that God's people will have burdens. It anticipates that that's going to be the reality in God's people's lives. Not just in the church at Galatia to whom Paul was writing, but in every church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It anticipates that there are going to be those in every church that are burdened in a variety of ways. And in light of this, I just want to expound a little bit on this verse. This is what the church is supposed to be doing. We've been in a study of ecclesiology, which is the doctrine of the church. What the church is, what the purpose of the church is, how the church is to function, the nature of the church, how the church is to be structured. What we are to be doing as the body in regard to our worship to God and in regard to our responses and interactions with one another. This is the kind of message that we need, and we need often to remind us of our duty to one another and our responsibility for one another. My friends, we are indeed our brothers, and we should have a genuine concern for what's going on in the lives of one another, the burdens, the difficulties that we are experiencing. This shouldn't be something that we simply give lip service to. This shouldn't be something that we simply recognize, but this is to be something that we do something about. This is to be something that we enter in upon in regards to our brothers and sisters. So as we look at this verse, I just want to highlight four things. First of all, the underlying reality assumed, or a reality assumed. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As I said, the text assumes that the people of the congregation are going to be burdened. It assumes that. Now, it's possible for some of you right now, you're going through a very pleasant season in life. You're experiencing an easy season in life, if you will. And that is possible. It's possible. Some of you may be experiencing a really good time in life. The waters are relatively smooth. The providences are favorable. You're not unusually aware of any dark clouds or hardships, at least in regards to your own mind. That is possible. But simply by fact of living in a cursed world, we are always teetering on the precipice. We are always in that situation that our Lord addressed when he says in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. That is a rather ominous statement. It's an ominous statement that says that though today may be fine, and in light of the way things are going today, you may anticipate that tomorrow will also be fine, but you do not know what events are about to enter. I don't know how many of you are like me, but how many of you have a look of dread when you answer the phone? Now, this may just be because I'm a pastor. But when you get that phone call, and you just don't know what the news is going to be on the other end of the line. I answer the phone differently than I did years ago. When I answer the phone now, I answer the phone with a little bit of hesitation. I answer the phone with a little bit of, is everything okay? I mean, is this call going to tell me that someone is dead or dying? Is this call going to tell me that some horrible event has happened in the life of someone? Is this call going to tell me that there's a problem in the church? So I answer the phone with hesitation. I know that this is a world filled with people bearing burdens. I don't know what the point to be, but whether it's big or small, burdens do not have to weigh 1,000 pounds to be burdened. I think we need to realize that. If I ask to stand up and to hold a 2-pound weight out to your side, you would discover that that would eventually become a great burden. It would simply get heavier and heavier, and most, if not all of you, would drop that weight. Holding a relatively small weight in a particular way for an extended period of time is wearisome. That's the effect that even small burden can have. I mean, who are we to determine how heavy a burden is? Too oftentimes, we like to judge one another's burden. Right? You have a financial burden. Well, I have a physical burden. You have a burden for your child. Well, I have a burden for my wife or for my husband. You lost a son or a daughter. We lost a dog last week. We like to judge one another's burdens. We tend to judge one another's burdens, but what we simply need to know is this, that this is a person with a burden. That's what we need. The term burden used here simply means trouble or weight. It has reference to troubles, trials, tribulations, either of one kind or another, or as most often is the case, of multiple kinds. Generally, when someone is burdened, it's not just over one thing. David said in Psalm 94 and verse 19, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolation is my soul. When the Holy Spirit inspired David to write those words, because that would be a relatively common experience among God's people in all of their lives. Those who are physically burdened with disease or sickness still have the burden of caring for their children, of paying bills, and the burden of people they love who are hurting. If your greatest need right now was financial, and we wrote a check and we eliminated your debt, it would not mean that you would be completely unburdened. The reality is that we do bear burdens in this world. This life, Psalm 34 and verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know what that tells me? That tells me that even my faith is no shield against bearing burdens. The underlying reality of living in a world that is cursed, a world that is full of thorns and thistles, a world that is full of sighing and tears and death and sickness and frustration, is that we will be burdened. That's the end. And we could go through the list of the various kinds of burdens. There are burdens within. There are troublesome, oppressive, depressing thoughts about the past. Financial burden, relational burden, physical burden, spiritual burden, cares for the needs of others, and then there are the burdens of our own sin, our own failure, our own foolishness. I'm reminded of the words of John chapter 16 and verse 33. God said these things, that in me you may have, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now in that context, the tribulation being spoken of there is persecution, but tribulation can be many kinds of difficulties, hardships, trials. Paul and Barnabas encouraged the infant church in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 with these words, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. The sea of tribulation is what we are all going to ride on to glory. Paul speaks of the tension that exists between trials and blessings. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Speaking of himself, speaking of all Christians, we have this treasure. We have Christ. We have the gospel in jars of clay. It means that we're weak. Can be shattered, broken. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Now, church, there is tension there, right? And you and I need to understand both sides of that tension. Simply because you're not crushed doesn't mean that you're not afflicted. Simply because someone is not in despair doesn't mean that they're not perplexed. Simply because someone is not forsaken doesn't mean that they're not persecuted. And simply because someone is not destroyed doesn't mean they're not struck down. That's the reality is that we will have burdens in this world. Others will have burdens in this world. That is life here at Glencoe. That is life at every church in this city. That's our reality. Now, our burdens are not to be ultimately what defines us. Our burdens are not to be ultimately what we identify ourselves with. Remember, we are in Christ. We identify ourselves with Christ and only with Christ. You have people identifying themselves with all kinds of things today. Sexuality and gender and all these different things. So we are identified with Christ. Don't identify with our burdens. That's something that my parents were good at. When I was adopted in 1981, prior to that, my sister and I had gone through 5 foster homes. We already had our problems. I was 8, my sister was 7 when my parents adopted us. We already had our issues. We had gone through some very difficult things, some homes. Not to mention the fact that our parents, basically, our biological parents, basically abandoned us, and the Department of Human Services called in. But my mother would never allow me, my father would never allow me to identify with that. To walk around with a chip on my shoulder, mad at the world and mad at God, my mother would never allow me to use that as for any kind of hate or for lack of ambition. There is a crippling, paralyzing anxiety that the Bible does forbid. As I was thinking through this sermon, what was brought to my mind was a beautiful senior lady at the church that I was previously at. This woman came to our church, and yes, I understand that there are medical diagnoses of anxiety. Trust me, I'm well aware of that. I know that that's out. We'll deal with that stuff. That is not something that's to be overlooked. I think the church needs to do a better job at understanding mental health. So this woman had severe anxiety, medically diagnosed anxiety. She came to our church, and as she began to learn about who she was in Christ, about what Christ had done for her, about the fact that Christ had overcome the world, and she was more than a conqueror in Christ. As she began to understand those things, she was able to deal with her anxiety more. Dear lady, killed tragically in a car accident on the way to church. Now, there's a crippling anxiety, paralyzing anxiety that the Bible forbids, but obviously, this verse tells us that the Bible, God, does not forbid us in grace from feeling the weight of our own burdens and from feeling the weight of others' burdens. And to have that really be something that we legitimately feel. As a matter of fact, this verse commands us to bear one another's burdens. So we have this assumed reality, presupposed reality, that we will bear burdens, all of us. But then, I want you to notice the necessary duty required. Bear one another's burden. That's the necessary. Now, we have our own burden. I have my own burden. Right? We all do. And what this verse instructs us to do is to have eyes to see beyond our own burden. People come in here to worship every Sunday. People come in here to worship on Wednesday evening. We do have Wednesday evening service. If you weren't aware, we have a prayer service and a Bible study. But people come in here to worship, and they enter into this place with burdens on their hearts and on their minds. And they try to put those burdens away for a moment. They try to put those burdens out of their minds for a moment just so that they can worship God unburdened and unfettered. Every time we meet, it's like that. And some of those burdens are relatively small, and some of them are really, really big. And what Paul says is this: whether they are big, whether they are small, you need to find some way. You need to find some way that you can help bear those burdens. Find some way that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or how many of you can come alongside of those people that are heavily burdened or lightly burdened and help them carry that burden. Now, I hope that all of us in here have hearts to do that. I mean, we should, right? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. So we should have a heart that would want to come alongside someone who is burdened and help them carry that burden. What God is asking us to do is He's asking us to see beyond ourselves. He says, you're acutely aware of your own burdens. You're acutely tuned in to your own burdens, but I want you to see beyond yourself and see that other people in your fellowship have burdens too. And what I want you to do is I want you to find some way in which you can help them carry that burden. What's interesting, I noticed that we have some people visiting with us this morning from Compassion in Action, the outreach that we have. That outreach was birthed as a result of a message similar to this. We are to try to find some way to help people carry their burdens, in particular our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, isn't it the case, physically speaking, that when you're trying to hold something that's heavy and something that's awkward, that the presence of 1, 2, or 3 others bearing that same weight, bearing that same awkwardness, make that thing carryable? Well, that's the hope here. Now, the Lord does tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 to cast all of our cares on Him. Just casting all of your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. And we are to do that. All of us are to do that. We are to cast our cares, cast our anxieties upon the Lord. But what else is being said here in this text is this: that you are to allow others in your life to be a means of God answering that prayer. Now, God will get the glory for it all, but part of God's means of bearing your burdens is going to be that friends and loved ones and brothers and sisters in Christ help you bear that burden. And if that's going to happen, then two things really need to take place. The first thing that's required is revelation. If you want others to enter into your burden, and it's not selfish for you to want that, it requires revelation. Let me say this. You need to know and you need to recognize that I nor anybody else in this room is a mind reader or an emotion reader. Trust me, I can't. That's one reason why I believe the front line of me knowing things is always the Sunday school class. Because it's in the Sunday school class that it's revealed who's going to have surgeries and who's sick and all those things. And I've told several people, when you find out those things, come tell me, because I'll probably never find them out otherwise. Because I can't read minds and I can't read emotions. And what that means is you have to be willing to be painfully transparent with one another. You have to be painfully transparent. You have to be open in sharing with at least somebody in this church that you know loves you, somebody in this church that you can trust. And I pray that everybody has at least one person in this church like that. At least one. So you have at least one person in this congregation that if you said, I'm hurting, they would not respond with, who cares, or I'm sorry for you. And it may be, it may well be, that when you share with them your burden, they will enter into that and they will help you carry that load. Or they will exhort others to come alongside you and help carry that. Now, sometimes that's going to mean informing your deacons and your elders. Like I said, we can't read minds, we can't read emotions, and there are things that we need to know about and we want to help with, but we can't if we don't know. That's why God's given the church elders and deacons. They're His gift to the church. And we want to help. We want to come alongside. We want to meet needs. But we have to know about them. So having help and bearing your burden is going to require revelation. Also, if you want others to enter into bearing your burden, it will require reception. You've got to receive the help. Got to receive the help. This means that you have to set aside that most besetting sin of yours, which is pride. And you've got to put off any appearance of perfectionism. Or that you have it all together. That you can handle this thing. You've got to put all of that away. It will do you no good to voice your burden. And when you have people say, I want to help, I want to come alongside you, and you turn them down, it will do you no good if you turn that help down. So you've got to reveal your burden, and then you've got to receive the help. And then there's the actual, number two, burden bearing. Bear one another's burden. It doesn't simply say no about the burden. I mean, that's progress. But it says to bear one another's burden. In other words, actually step in to bearing that burden. Church, actually step in to bearing that burden. You say, who? Me? Yeah, you. Yeah, you. And you, and you, and you. All of us. Step into bearing that burden to some degree or another. Now, some will be able to do it more than others. Some at certain seasons of their life will be able to do it more than others, but we're to do it. I know when our kids were young, Jen wanted so much to be a part of the life of the church and to be involved in people's lives and to want to help in so many different ways. But because of being a mom and having three young ones, that was almost impossible. She did what she could, but she couldn't do as much as others. But we are to do it to some degree or another. Bear one another's burdens is a present, active imperative. An imperative is a command. Present active means it's a command to be fulfilled always. In other words, you don't stop doing this. It's a perpetual duty of God's people that's rooted in love. Love compels us to do. I remember when we went to Guatemala for the medical mission a few years back, 3 or 4 years back now. when we got off the plane there in Guatemala City, there at the airport, and we made our way outside, there were all these Guatemalans out there who were trying to get your luggage. They wanted to carry your luggage and to load it into your vehicle or whatever vehicle you were getting into. And I was told, don't let them do that because they want a tip. They want money. Money was their motivation for doing that. Now, what if I told you that I would give you $100 for every prayer you prayed for someone, for every phone call you made to someone that was burdened, for every casserole, being that we're bad, that you made for someone, the requirement to have a casserole that's bad. What if I did that? Would that motivate you? Be honest. Would that motivate you to reach out? Well, how much more so should the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts motivate us to step out and to step in and to help someone bear a burden? That's the motivation. That should be our only motivation for doing it. Not for any pats on the back, not for any accolades, not for any, recognition. We just simply do it because we love the Lord Jesus and we love His. That should be our motive for this required duty, bear one another's burdens. Then I want you to notice the glorious truth fulfilled. So we see a reality assumed. We see the necessary duty required. And notice the glorious truth fulfilled. Look at verse 2 again. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. So fulfill the law of Christ. It says, doing this will fulfill the law of Christ. It means you doing this and you doing this and you doing this will fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. Wow. Now think about this. The command of Christ that's referred to here is John 13, verses 34 through 35, where he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And this verse gives us in a very practical way, Galatians 6:2, gives us in a very practical and loving way a means by which to demonstrate the heart of Christ in our congregation. It's more than a meal. It's more than a prayer. It's more than giving a ride to somebody somewhere. It's demonstrating to the body and to a watching world who will be able to see what we do, something about who our Savior is and what He's like. Because this is what our Savior is. There's a lot that I could say about this fulfilling the law of Christ, loving one another. But I just want to point out a few texts. Because this matter of us loving one another is one of the great, if not the greatest, burden of the Scriptures. That the love that we are to show, the love that we are to bear to one another, is our chief earthly duty in the body of Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 21, it says this, and this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. 1 John 5 verses 2 and 3 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Do you catch that? By this we know that we love the children of God. How? When we love God and we obey His commandments, how many times does the Scripture have to tell us that we do not live our lives in a vacuum? That we are not on an island unto ourselves. How we live affects others. How we live in the church affects our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you want to show that you have love for the children of God, then you love God and you obey His commandments. James 2:8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, which is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. When we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ to love one another as He has loved us. That's the glorious truth fulfilled. And then I just want us to take a moment and think about some actions that are required in order to do this. You give a message like this, well, how do you apply this? How do I do this as a Christian? How do I do this as a member of Glencoe Baptist Church? How do I do this as someone who's in the body of Christ, as someone who's in the church universal, if you will? You're just in the body of Christ, wherever that body may be. As a believer, you're a part of God's church universal. So how do I fulfill this in regard to other brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, one of the ways that we're going to bear the burdens of others is emotionally. Emotionally. And this may be the hardest of ways that we do this. And it's asking a lot of us in a world that is so individualistic and so maverick-like. You know, it's sad that we are connected with one another through so many means today, cell phones, email, all of that. But we live such individualistic lives. And we never engage with one another on a very intimate level, on a very emotional level. But if burdens are to be bared in the church, we're going to have to bear those burdens emotionally. It's one of the most self-giving ways that we bear one another's burdens. And that is to so care for a person, for another person, and to so love another person, it's as though that what is happening to them is happening to me. It's happening to you. Because it actually is happening to me. And it actually is happening to you if we're really the body of Christ. If we're really the body of Christ at Glencoe. If we're really a body, and that body is functioning correctly, then we are told in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. The suffering of one member in the body is a call for all the body to enter into that. The rejoicing of one member in the body is a call for all the body to enter into that. How often in the epistles of the Apostle Paul, which we're reading one of them right now, we're in one of them right now, how often do we read of Paul's emotional investment in the lives of other Christians, in the lives of churches? Paul had a burden for all the churches. Man, it's tough to have a burden for one church, but to have a burden for all the churches. The Apostle Paul had that. And we oftentimes, in his greeting, when he opens up his letter, he speaks of that emotional attachment, that emotional investment that he's made in those people. How we read of Christ's emotional investment in other people, in particular, His disciples. how we read at times that he was troubled in his own spirit, not so much about what he was going to face, but he was troubled in his own spirit because of the concerns that he had for them, especially as he was about to leave them and go to his father. They would never see him again physically like they had before, except upon his return. He would return in like manner as he left, but they would be in this world without him. To be emotionally invested, to emotionally bear another's burdens, is I'm not just caught up in myself. I'm not just caught up in my own little world, in my own burdens. I am emotionally invested in others. To love another person, friends, is an open invitation to pain in your life. That's what it is. It is saying the pain of my life is willing to invite into it the pain of other people's lives. That's being emotionally invested. That's emotionally bearing another's burden. One of the other ways that we are going to bear another's burden is spiritually. And part of what I'm referring to here is prayer. Prayer. Praying for people we know that are burdened. Lifting that need before the Lord who can meet that need. Do you realize that oftentimes when people are heavily burdened, when they're dealing with some really, really difficult things in life, it's hard for them to muster sometimes even the energy to pray. It's hard for them to know how to pray. Sometimes they're so confused, they're so distraught, they're so discouraged of heart and mind, they simply don't know how to pray. Sometimes they don't even want to pray. But we can pray for them. You may not be able to make it out to Wednesday night prayer service, but you can still pray for people. You can still pray for people. I know Kathy leaves our prayer guide on the table out in the lobby. You can go by there and pick up a list of those prayer needs and pray over them throughout the week. I try to take at least one day out of the week and pray over all those specific needs. I always pray for the needs of the church in a general way, but I take time out just to look at those needs and to pray over them one by one by one. And any that I know of that aren't on there. But we can bear burdens spiritually. We can pray for people. And one of the ways that we're going to bear burdens is verbally. Now, this is one area in which we can really mess up. Seriously. I hate trite cliches. You know, those things that we say that most of the time we don't really mean. They're just, you know, it's Christianese. It's the way we talk. But this is also an opportunity to really succeed. Do you realize that in the Bible, there are truths that are calculated to make us happy and to bring comfort? And I believe that when people are burdened, it's that they need to hear. They need to hear Scripture. They need to hear those promises that God has made. So you may not know what to say, or maybe you're afraid of saying something that's just going to sound stupid and be irritating. Well, just use the Bible. Use the Bible. You don't know what to say? Quote a promise from God's Word. Because that's sure. And God meant it. Come alongside of those burdened and comfort them with the promises of the Scripture. Now, you can say other things. You can come alongside them and just say things like, I'm sorry for you. I'm praying for you. My heart is broken for you. I grieve for you. I mean, that doesn't do harm. Where we get into trouble is when we try to speak about the hidden things of God. That's where we get into trouble. Somebody's going through a difficult time and you're like, "Huh, well, I know what God's doing here." No, you don't. That's God's hidden will. All I have is God's revealed will. I don't know what God's doing in somebody's life. What's the guy on TV? Pat Roberts. Every time there's a natural disaster, he always says it's because there's sin in the city. I remember when Katrina happened. He got on TV and said, "Yeah, God's judging those people for their sin." Said things about the tsunami in Japan and the nuclear power plant fiasco and all that. We don't know what God was doing there. We do know that He is in control of the elements. He's in control of the weather. The clouds are the dust of His feet. We know that. But I can't say that God was judging sin. I can't say that. I can't speak to the hidden things of God. That's where we mess up. And all that can do is torture a poor soul if we've got it. We can bear burdens physically too. We can do it monetarily. We can do it with our labor. And we can do it with our presence. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about this. This is a big deal in the Scriptures. Helping to bear people's burdens physically. James says in James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that?" And in John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, it says, "But if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." You know, money can alleviate a burden. It can alleviate a burden. Somebody's having financial struggles, and this church has oftentimes been good about that. We've taken up, I don't know how many love offerings. We've helped people out of the benevolence program who were really feeling the pressure financial. And we've alleviated some burdens. As I said, it didn't alleviate all their burdens. Doesn't mean that they were completely unburdened, but we alleviated a burden, a major burden in their life. And I think if we're able to do that, if God has blessed us to be able to do that, then we should do that. We can alleviate and relieve burdens with physical labor. Just with physical labor. If you have a senior member of your church and they need their yard work done, you can do that. We have plumbers in this. We have a plumber, I think, in this congregation who can help you out there. We have people who have a moderate knowledge of vehicles who can help you out with those things. We have people who know where things can be gotten and where people need to be sent. We have people who can give rides. Physical labor. I remember after, I forget what hurt, maybe it was Hurricane Irma, some of us guys went out and cleaned up some of the senior members of our church's yards. That's about every hurricane, pretty much. But that's, you can do that. If somebody is having an issue with their vehicle and there's a mechanic in the church, there's no reason why that burden can't be alleviated. If someone is having problems with their plumbing and there's a plumber in the church, there's no reason why that burden cannot be alleviated. The question is are we willing? Are we willing to take the time and the energy to enter in and to help bear that burden? And then you can just bear burdens with your presence. With your presence. You don't have to say anything. You can just go sit with someone. This is what I've done so oftentimes at hospitals. Someone's wife or someone's husband will be in an operating room for, you know, 4 or 5 hours, and that I know that spouse is going to be troubled and worried while they wait in the waiting room, and I just sit there with them all day long. I don't even take my Bible, or I don't even take my sermon to work on, or a computer or anything of that nature, because I want to be there with them. I don't want to be distracted. You can just sit with somebody. Just your presence. You have a widow who's just lost her husband. Her house is empty. Just go sit with her. Or you have a widower. A man just lost his wife. His house is empty. The house hasn't been like that for 60, 50 years. Just go sit. Be present. We can do that. These are practical ways that we can bear burdens. We can do them emotionally. We can bear burdens spiritually. We can pray for someone. We can bear burdens physically. Practical ways to do this. And as we tearfully share the burdens of others, as we enter emotionally enter into their emotional or their physical pain, we do so with the hope that there's coming a day that there's not going to be any more tears. There's coming a day when there's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more burdens. Because somebody came and He bore all of our burdens in His body on the cross. And because He bore those burdens, and because He ended the curse. Now, we don't see that yet because we're still in this world, but He ended the curse. It's an already and not yet type of thing. The curse is ended. We don't see it yet, but it will ultimately end because He's already done the work. He's finished it. And it will be to His glory. And upon that day, we will be given to Him. Ultimately given to Him as the full and final reward of all His suffering. Do you know what God is doing in saving people? What God is doing in saving people is He's putting together a throng that no man can number as a gift to His Son for the work that His Son came and did, willingly came and did upon Calvary's cross. The suffering that His Son went through for the redemption of mankind. We're going to be His trophies. His trophies. That's what God is doing. Save. And one day, when we all get to heaven, we will be the full and final reward of all of His suffering. He's ended the curse. So as we bear with one another, as we bear burdens with one another, as we cry with one another, as we sorrow with one another, we do so with that hope. And as I said last Sunday, that's where we're all going to be as God's true church. That's the end for us. Well, it's not really the end for us because we'll be there forever. But glory is where we're headed. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for Your word. I thank You for just this message to each and every one of us, how often we need to be reminded that bearing burdens isn't simply recognizing that people have burdens, but that we are to enter in to those burdens and we are to come alongside people and really connect with people emotionally and invest in them to help them carry that burden. As with compassion and action, it's not just compassion. It's not just feeling sorry for someone. It is compassion. It that's accompanied with action. A doing something for someone else. And Lord, I pray for those this morning that may be here with heavy burdens. I pray for that one whom it was difficult for them to come here because of their burdens. Lord, I pray that You would help our church, if we can, to meet that need and to help bear that burden. And Lord, if You can raise up other people, other believers, other brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe from outside this church, to come alongside that person and help them bear that burden. Lord, we pray that as well. But Lord, we thank You that ultimately we do not bear our burdens alone. And there is not one thing that any of us have faced that no one else has faced. We share in the same lot in life. Our lives, as soon as we are born, are full of trouble. We're just a few days, and a man is a few days and full of trouble, as sure as the sparks fly up from a fire. That's our lot in life. It's what's common to all of us. But Lord, what should be common in your church is that we help one another. So Lord, help us to do that, we pray. Father God, I pray if there's that one here that doesn't yet know you because they know not yet your Son, Lord, I pray that you would do a work of grace in their lives. I pray, Lord, that they would see that this beautiful thing that you have established, that you have instituted, which is called the church, made up of your redeemed people, is a wonderful and beautiful institution. It's a living organism made up of people who, because you have saved them and redeemed them and changed their hearts, who truly love, genuinely love one another. And Lord, we know that sinners can enter into that body filled with love through faith in Jesus Christ. But first of all, Lord, we pray that they would see Jesus as beautiful and that they would desire Him. And Lord, we know you can do that work in their hearts, and we pray that you would. And this we all, we pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.